This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to our podcast. And if you are following us, you will have heard the story of a Costa Rican couple, Stephanie and Armando Royas. And they shared in the last podcast about their journey growing up in a pastor's family and going, you know, have a vision for Africa and how God took their vision and readjusted it, and the whole bigger picture came of Business's Mission. So we are looking forward to having them again and to hear from them how that looked like as they went in Ethiopia and started a building architecture company there. And welcome, Stephanie. Welcome, Armando. And it's good to have you. It's always good to see my co-host and have his suggestions and his questions on the table too. Welcome.
Hi, Gaia. So good to see you again, and Stephanie and Armando, and looking forward to getting into the next chapter.
Hi. Thank you for having us. Thank you. Thank you. And such a good time last time. So we hope we can just have more of that. And thank you for having us.
Well, Stephanie, maybe you can, for our listeners who might not have listened to the last podcast, or that was 2 weeks ago. So can you just recapture what you, some of the things you shared in our last time together?
Sure. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Well, our story began with us wanting to do traditional missions, because that's what we heard since we were growing up in our parents' house. And we had an idea of what we wanted to do, go with an NGO to Somalia and do this kind of work. And then all of a sudden we realized that it wasn't not going to work for us because of many things. And one of them was because God wanted us to do, He told us He wanted us to be more strategic. And He wanted us to be willing to die to a dream of going to Somalia and do it to, not because it was bad, because He said, like, if you go to Somalia, I'll be with you. It's okay. I will be with you and it will contribute to the kingdom. But if you want to do what I want you to do and be more strategic for the kingdom, then come join me in a new journey. And that's what we did. And we started exploring different ideas and seeing through a different lenses the countries that we wanted to impact with the kingdom. And it's when we started seeing more business opportunities and connections to do a different kind of work. And this was a solution for many things. And we didn't know, when we were thinking in traditional missions, we didn't know how we were going to fundraise for so much. Not just to support us, but to support more Latinos that wanted to join our team, and then the vision of an NGO. But business was a solution that felt more aligned to our reality. And at the same time, we felt like we were going to come to the country and really contribute with something. So that's how we shift. And we said, like, let's try to do something in business.
I also remember from the last talk is what you shared, Armando. You know, you said, oh, it's kind of a joke that, you know, there was this man who makes shoes and, you know, sent to Africa say, hey, you know, go and make shoes there. And this man came to Africa and he's like, you know, to this certain tribe, how can you send me here? Because there's nobody wearing shoes. They, you know, I better get back. And then another one was sent. And that person said, wow, send me all the leather you can gather because there's a whole market here. There's so much need. Everybody needs shoes. And I, you know, that's what I remember from our last talk. It's like you seemed before going, you know, with an aid organization, you saw all the need. And then going the second time with a business mind, you saw all the opportunities. I thought that was kind of remarkable how we can have different lenses looking at the same situation. Bill, what did you remember from the last talk?
I just was so encouraged with what I would call the spiritually healthy background that they bring to their story, the great examples in their families, and just really healthy thinking around what ministry was like. But then their own stories were taking off with real courage, but lots of direction from the Lord. And as they got direction, they would have the courage to step out and go to other countries and just see the Lord show up and do what he does. And so now hearing the story shift a bit to business becoming the real anchor for them to be in certain places. I remember when that began to happen to us, because when we went to the country we went to, it was never an idea that we'd have a company. And then as that started unfolding, I remember just the different ways people reacted to it and the need to have some real focus ourselves, because our clarity was going to really define our ability to stay with the task that the Lord had given us, because we often had less and less support. And it's understandable if someone else doesn't have the same kind of assignment. It's understandable that they can't really understand and support us, but that's when we really have to have clarity to stay on the path that the Lord is giving us individually. So that's what I love hearing about their story.
So now we are entering the scene of Ethiopia. And how did you feel called to that place? What did you do there? How did it look like?
With us, it's interesting because when we kind of always feel God directs us, gives us specific directions, and then sometimes we feel maybe we are just not as good as Bill at listening to the instructions. But we feel like, okay, if it's business, let's see what can we do. And we started just moving forward. So he gives us this piece of the puzzle. And then we say, what can we do with this? And so we started making some research about business in East Africa. Somalia is still, but that was back in the early 2000s, 2010 maybe. It didn't have the realities, like the structure to start a business. So what we did is we said, what's the logical thing to do? And we just started to look for what's the next country around East Africa that has a better entrepreneurial ecosystem or business infrastructure so that we can start there. And seeing the countries around and the realities around, that's how we ended up in Ethiopia. So it wasn't a calling more than what's the next step that we should do if God said, go with business. And that's how we went to Ethiopia. We did an assessment trip to Ethiopia, and we didn't want it to be in the capital city just because of our traditional, I guess what the traditional mindset of missions put in your mind, that you have to be in a certain a place that looks specific, like it looks somehow it looks this way or that way. But at the end, we thought it was strategic. We thought it was wise to stay in the capital city. And because of all the paperwork that we needed to do, everything was centralized in the capital city. So that's how we decided.
And what do you remember from that time, Armando?
It was great. We went to East Africa, Second time, we saw so many opportunities. We did our research. We did. We knew how much money do we need at that moment. It was a big amount of capital that you need at that time, and now it's more to start a business in Ethiopia. So it was great. It was good. It was a good trip. It was totally different. We just renew our vision. We change our glasses, and so many opportunities. And we came back and start praying. And we knew how much money we need. And God told us to not talk about money with anybody. Just pray for long time. It was a long time for praying and having directions from God. And we were in some country, and I think it was the US, and we were in Mexico to Costa Rica, and we at that point we sold everything, so we didn't have anything. We didn't have a house, we didn't have a fridge, a stove. I mean, we didn't have anything at that point because we knew we were living. And we keep praying and praying, and one moment God literally downloaded from the heaven the strategic plans. Stephanie start writing and start crying, and just start writing and writing and writing and start crying and crying, and we knew that was the way. So from that moment to it was how many months?
Well, the thing is that one of the things that came out in the research when we went to Ethiopia is that we needed an initial investment to be able to open a business as foreigners in Ethiopia. And it was $85,000. That was a ton of money for us. Since I was 23, I think, and Armando was 25, recently out of college, and we didn't have that money. So that's why we started praying, because God said, okay, now you know what you need. Now just pray. And we weren't allowed, we felt, and I've been trying to remember, but I don't remember. Maybe you remember. I don't remember how we got to the realization that God was forbidding us to talk about the money we needed. We just needed to pray, and we started the movement, a prayer movement for East Africa, Somalia, and all the strategies. And it took us 2 years of only praying. In that time is when we, I think, started businesses here, because we said, let's try to do business in Costa Rica meanwhile, and maybe one of those businesses will have enough money to have profits for this. So it took us 2 years of only praying. Do you remember how we got to that realization that we couldn't talk about money?
It was a feeling, you know? It's this feeling. I don't remember the specific moment. We were in Atlanta learning English. It didn't work. But I still speak some English. But Stephanie, she already had at that moment really good English. My English was zero. And we were in Atlanta for a couple months, and we were in the English school. And we have this feeling we cannot talk about money with anybody. So we wait. We wait until God put this feeling in our hearts that it was the moment. So when the moment came, everything happened in months. We got some investors. It was not an investment. It was God told us to ask for that money without loans.
Amanda, to clarify for the listeners.
Yeah.
So what we hear is that, you had the sense, hey, it's Ethiopia. So you knew, okay, we need 85,000?
Yeah, 85,000 at that moment.
US dollars, something like
US
that?
US dollars, yes. US dollars. $85,000 to put in a bank account in Ethiopia to start a business. They don't take the money. You can use it for the business. But you need to put it there to show them that you are a serious person.
So there was this period of 2 years of waiting, praying. And then in the meantime, you started business in Costa Rica.
We did start businesses in Costa Rica. We start businesses, and the plan that we had at that moment was to get this money And so we are loan without interest from different investors and friends, you know, the three F's, fools, friends, and family.
Well, before we go into this, you know, the second phase, I like to hear Bill. Bill, what did you pick up? What do you think might be interesting for our listeners?
What I hear is this is a season of adjustment. So you get some direction from the Lord and you stick with it, but you know it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some changes and some relationships are going to come to play. And I love the idea of hearing from the Lord. This is a secret between us. So just keep it between us and watch it unfold. And there's that passage in scripture that says, now when you go pray, pray in secret, only let your Father know. Don't let anybody else know what's going on. And it builds a kind of anticipatory tension that's good. It's like, okay, I'm doing what he asked me to do. I wonder when he's going to show up. I wonder what he's going to do. But you begin to have a kind of faith. It's a little bit of a different experience for me when I know he's told me something and I don't tell anybody else. So it's like our secret. I think that's a great sort of technique for people to experiment with. If they feel like the Lord is telling them to do something, you can ask the Lord, can I tell anybody or is this our secret? And if the Lord says it's our secret, just keep it a secret between the two of you and watch and see what happens. But I think it engages faith in a healthy way. It's a good thing.
So here we come to this time that Stephanie started receiving. You call it downloads, Armando. And here Stephanie is crying. I hear from another, you know, I remember the other podcast we did. I think you become sensitive, like, oh, Stephanie is crying. What?
Yeah,
is
crying again. What did I do? No. Yeah, but yeah, very sensitive of how God speaks to us in different ways. And we know how when God is speaking to us more clearly now, but at that moment it was just this feeling, the flow of God. Maybe Stephanie can explain that.
What kind of idea did you get, Stephanie? Because we are curious too, you know.
It was we were just talking about possibilities as always, because this was our conversation all the time. So we were in a car and we were talking. And this idea of what if we go through people, we find people that will give us $5 to $10,000, and then we promise we will pay it back through. Well, back then, what we knew was the traditional mission model, right? So we said, like, we can fundraise with people or churches or whatever and ask them to commit just for 2 years. And in these 2 years, we will have enough money to pay back the loan, right? So that was the idea. And as I mentioned in the other podcast, this idea felt different. And when we started talking about the idea and putting together and writing down like a business sort of a plan around it, it felt different. So we just went to an office and took a computer and start writing and typing the idea. And it's very funny because we started saying, oh, and we can call these the ones that are going to give us the money, the investors, which it wasn't an investment, it was a loan, but we can call them angels. And then we call these allies. And then when I started doing some research, I realized that the angel investor, it's a thing in the world. So it was very funny because a lot of the things that we were writing down, it was business terms that we didn't know back then, because our professional background is not in business. I'm an architect, Armando is a chiropractor. But God was giving us the outlines, like, you have to do some research about impact investment and about angel investors. And because he was giving this as an idea, I thought it was an idea, but it was clues of how we had to do our research to put together our business plan. And that's how we got to learn about real investments and angel investors and all of that. And this is what we did. We said, okay, this is it. We put it together. We made it look pretty, the business plan. We were going to open a business consultancy. That's what we thought, which is crazy since we had no business background to consult anyone in business. But our idea was like, if we go there as a business consultancy from Latin America, then we can tell them that we want to connect other business people from Latin America to this continent. And that was the idea in the business plan. And from the moment that we got it to the moment we had the money through connections, because some of the people that gave us the biggest part of the money, we didn't knew them at that time. So we met them through someone. It went probably like 5 months, 6 months. So it was very quickly after that. After all the waiting, it was very quickly and everything started coming together. Then the thing that changed was that because life happens, most of the people that committed to give something monthly didn't really went through their commitment. And I think this was God showing us, you are not doing things the traditional way. So it wasn't through people giving like they will give to a missionary a monthly something. And this is when we realized our businesses in Costa Rica needed to be strong. And the small entrepreneurships and things that we had in Costa Rica. And it was through these businesses in Costa Rica that we were able to pay in 2 years the payback, the people that had invested in us.
How long altogether were you in Ethiopia?
We were 9 years there. But and of course, well, the thing is that we promised to pay back in 2 years, but a starting business is not going to be able to do that, right? Now we know that. Back then, probably not. And in Ethiopia, it's right now, we know, one of the hardest countries in Africa to start a business because of all the bureaucracy and all the paperwork that they make you do. So we went through almost a year and a half of just paperwork before we could actually do business, like before we could actually have clients.
This time was all supported through a business, I think a school you set up in Costa Rica.
Yes, that was the first business we started in Costa Rica during this waiting period. It started as a daycare. Right now it's gone all the way to a school, to primary school. But yeah, so it started as a daycare, and that business started giving us enough to pay the loans. And through that business and the other ones, we were able to leave this year and a half. Well, and our savings that we had from everything we sold, our car, everything that we sold, we started just living out of our savings and the money from these businesses. Because the investment, the $85,000, they were freezed in an account in Ethiopia. We could not use it until all the paperwork was done.
What I hear is just the whole process of, it's not something like, okay, now I'm a business missionary. What do you hear, Bill, when you hear Armando and Stephanie?
I remember somebody saying the two essential things that you must have overseas are sense of humor and you're fine with surprises. Don't be surprised at surprises. So be very flexible and have a sense of humor and you can survive a lot. And so I feel like that's the kind of encounter that they had, that their plans well made, but they're not aligning at all with the reality now that they're having to live in. So the flexibility is super important to not be thrown off balance just because you have to shift something. And then the sense of humor really helps a lot. Otherwise, you can get really worn down.
Well, once we got to Ethiopia with our money and we were going to register a business in the investment bureau, they told us, oh no, the law changed 6 months ago, and now foreigners can't have business consultancy. That's not allowed for a foreigner anymore. And we were here with the money, and we weren't able. So we were like, what? And all the other investments, because this was a consultancy, it was $85,000. All the other investments were $250,000 and up. And we were like, this cannot be true. So sense of humor and be okay with surprises. I don't think we were okay with this surprise in particular.
I can laugh now, but the moment was, oh my God.
So what did you do? Did you go back or what happened?
No.
Armando, what
No, came? Actually they say, well, the first answer we explain everything to them and they say, is a very good plan. You know what? Go to Kenya. And we're like, what? How can you say that to me? I mean, I'm here. I moved here in order to register this business. And they say, go to Kenya. No, I'm not living anywhere. And after that, they say, you know what? There is a one business consultancy that you can actually register right now. And we need that type of businesses here. And that is an architectural consultancy. We were like, what are you talking about? And it was just gap because we couldn't survive from a business consultancy at that moment. It was impossible. And Stephanie is an architect and urban planner. So we were like, this is too perfect to be real. So we doubted. You know, we doubted. We said, like, God, this is too perfect. This is you. And you know, this happens when God put everything together and you start doubting after he put everything together. It's crazy. So we were just doubting about if this was just God or not. And it obviously was God helping us. So we registered an architectural consultancy in Ethiopia. Yes, and it took us, Stephanie was actually the first woman foreigner to be registered fully as a local architect in Ethiopia. They had the law, they had all the paper, they had the processes, but nobody did it before. Stephanie was the first one. And it took us a year and a half, of persistence. And it was beautiful because in one moment, we went to see other opportunities, other countries, even other embassies in Ethiopia to see what if it was not the place, Ethiopia. And God say, hey, what are you doing? I'm with you. I put you here. What are you doing going and asking around? This is the place that you need to be. Because it was really, really hard. Yeah. The process of being an entrepreneur is extremely hard, extremely long sometimes. It's really difficult. Every day is a no, no, no. Now I learn with years that no is just the first step to say yes. In a governmental office or wherever, sometimes you need to ask in different ways 10 times. It's fine. They will say yes. But at that moment, it was so frustrating. And we say, God, I think we are going, we are leaving. And I was having a really hard time emotionally, physically. I was there because I just want to be obedient. It was not a walk in the park. I was suffering like physically. And God say to us, I put you here. You're not going anywhere. So something really changed in our minds. Really, really changed. And we say, God is with us, and I am not leaving this country. At least they are kicking me out, literally walking me to the plane. But I am not leaving. And this is what the place that God wants me to be, and this is what God wants me to do right now. And you know what happened? Everything in our minds. Culturally, everything started going easily. Emotionally, physically, everything changed. Everything changed. It was this swift of changes, glasses again. And we say, we are going to be here as long as God wants me to be. If I'm going to live here the rest of my life, this is the place. And we were okay with it.
I think it's very worthwhile to hear also some of the long trajectory, you know, God may put us on. And I see you smiling, but at that time it wasn't all smiles. But Stephanie, please, in closing, what would you, looking back on this whole trajectory coming to Ethiopia and this first time?
It comes to mind two things. One of them is that God always has a plan. And if we are willing to to say, like, I want to live through your plan and your design, then it's very interesting how things, although they are not easy all the time, they fall into place at time. Because I remember having one of our mentors, I still love him a lot, and he's a wonderful person, but he told me when I was finishing college, he said, like, you know, you're never going to use your career in this country, right? We were in Somalia in that moment. You're never going to use that. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, I just thought I needed to have this, like, college degree, and I was going to do it in something I'm good at. But I know I should have studied medicine or something, because I thought that's what you need in the mission field, right? And then at the end of the story, I was just, one of the debates I had with my parents before leaving was like, you should have at least some experience in your field before you go. And, you know, because they are concerned about us, what I had done and everything. I thought I was going to put my professional career into just a drawer, and it was just going to be something I did for myself once. It was a little bit selfish, but okay, I did it, and I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life serving him. But it's funny how he had a plan since the beginning, and he was going to use my skills, our skills, the things that he has, how he designed us, you know, to the things that he wanted to do for his kingdom. So it's not through a specific kind of people that he works, is through all of us, because he designed all of us, right? So that's one of the things that really, really strike right now in my mind.
Bill, can you close with some wisdom?
I don't know about that, but I love the concept of God leading Stephanie when she didn't know she was being led to go into the field of architecture. And so many of our listeners have had similar experiences. When they look behind them, they can see that God was associated with the decision or something that happened. And my encouragement is to go back and get in touch with that accent, that voice, that impression, the concept, the idea that encouraged you to do something, which now you look back and you say, that really was the Lord, and become familiar with it, so that when it happens again, you'll be quicker and you'll have more peace about responding to it. So I love that story, that element of their story. It's just fascinating. It's a real joy to hear it being unfolded in more detail than I've ever heard before. So I'm having a wonderful time.
It is a detail, but it is, yeah, very interesting and surprising, and I think encouraging also, you know, to our listeners. And well, we might call this the Latino podcast, you know, because there will be more podcasts coming with Stephanie and Armando. There's much more to this story, and it's and we enjoy the passion and the spirit you bring to the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
This was Gea Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoose.com and check out the course on kingdom mindsets for business, life, and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.